I'm excited for God. If you don't get that from me yet, you will once you get to know me, that I love Jesus with all my heart and everything he's done in my life. What the heck? I'm getting emotional. It's the joy of the Lord in me. And that's what we're going to talk about today is joy. Do we have the first slide up there? Okay, I am not a PowerPoint person, so bear with me. I think I'm supposed to do thumbs up and things when this happens. But I was thinking about joy through the week. And since me and Pastor Scott talked about what we're going to do and speak on, go ahead and go to the next slide. I was thinking about joy, and I'm like, what brings me joy? Of course, my wifey brings me joy. I mean, my in-laws bring me joy. They're here, so I can say that. I'm not talking behind their back. But joy, what does it mean? I don't know about you, but we recently just got a wonderful dog named Ruby. And this is what my house is like now. Ruby, get down. Ruby, quit eating that. Ruby, stop it. Ruby, leave me alone. Ruby, get off that shelf. Ruby, get away from the TV. Ruby, Ruby. Ruby, that's my shoe. That's my house. Ruby, leave the Christmas tree alone. Ruby. Oh, Ruby. Big old heat. But this is what brings me joy when she's asleep. This is the joy that's unexplainable. It's the peace, the hope. Every time I see her go down, I'm full of joy. But talking about joy, I started to think of two awesome women in the Bible. Isn't it cool to read about some of these women in the Bible? The things they did for God. How they were so willing to sacrifice themselves for God. And I immediately think of his mother Mary and Elizabeth. Let's look at Luke 1, 39 through 45. It'll go up there somewhere. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judea. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." When I thought more about joy and continued to think about joy besides my little Ruby, I began to think about Mary and Elizabeth more, who both experienced what I would call an impossible joy. And the reason why I say that is because these are two women that are significant in the gospel message. And a fun fact, if you've never heard this before, but if you, I think we sing it later, "Joy to the World," was not a Christmas song. It's literally the gospel being sang. If you look at the words, and when we sing it later, I challenge you to hear the words of that song. It's the gospel being sang. So we need to sing that year round. When you come upon somebody, just start saying, "Joy to the world." Sorry, I'll spare you. Both women find themselves pregnant, but in all reality should not be pregnant. The babies in their wombs are not there naturally. This is a God at work. Do you love to see God at work? I love to see him at work in people's lives. This is the stuff of miracles, which is also the stuff of joy. When God is working, you know joy is to come. And this is the thing about Mary and Elizabeth. This is the thing about that Jewish nation at that time. They're sitting there and they're expectant of a Messiah to come. I think Pastor Scott shared it a little bit ago. They were expecting the Messiah to come to save them from the Romans, to save them from everything, that they would be living heaven on earth after this Messiah came. The thing about joy is that it is a gift of God. And I speak of an unspeakable joy because there's a joy only God can give us. There's the joy I get when Ruby's sleeping. Then there's the joy I get when God fulfills something in my life. Or he leads me through the end of a journey that causes joy in my life. Mary travels to see Elizabeth, and the narrative it tells us that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. Now, I've never carried a baby, obviously. But I know I have felt a womb when the baby's kicking or you see the footprint come out. Isn't that weird? And I'm sure moms know more of the joy that comes expecting their child to be born. But this baby leaped in her womb. As Elizabeth tells Mary, "For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." Elizabeth's child, John, leaped for joy at Mary's greeting. Just as Elizabeth opened the door, Mary said, "Hey, Elizabeth," this baby just jumps with joy in her womb. Because it's the expectancy of the Savior. This is what the Advent season is all about. They were expecting the Messiah to come. And that's what John was, even in the womb. He was expecting his Lord to come. And in that moment, when he heard that voice, he said, "My Lord is here." And I'm filled with this joy. Unspeakable joy. One scholar that I have heard, a professor in my schooling, said, "A miraculous expression of the emotion of the unborn child, it was a joy given to Elizabeth as well." I'm sure Elizabeth was filled with the joy just as she was, because in that moment she was filled with the Holy Spirit and receives a prophetic inspiration. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And the Spirit also appears to reveal to her that Mary is indeed, as she says, "The mother of my Lord." Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, think on that just for a moment. Knowing that you are carrying the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Exalted One, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Elohim. Man, the joy begins here with two women in impossible circumstances. Both of them are miraculously pregnant. And you're like, "What do you mean by that?" Well, what I mean is Elizabeth was barren. She prayed with hope to have a child. And all of a sudden, she is expecting a child named John. Mary, too, in a miraculous thing, conceived and was going to have a baby as well. Miraculously. God ordained, amen? God created. God expressed, God at work, God knowing that one day, you sitting here in Four Square Church, he knew that you would need a Savior, so he says, "I'm going to bring heaven to earth." We just sang that. Bring Jesus into our presence. Like I said, one was barren past childbearing years, where God provides a child despite her age and physical condition. It's a miracle. The child would be the last of the old covenant-style prophets and the voice piece of fulfillment of God's promise to send the Messiah. John would be the mouthpiece of saying, "Soon someone's going to come better than me, greater than me." I speak of repentance, but he will speak with fire. He will speak of the Spirit. The voice piece. The other was a virgin. And at the beginning of her childbearing years, Mary was young. And yet God conceived in her a child without the help of a man. And the child would be the foundation of a new covenant, the Messiah that God had long ago promised. All the prophecies began to be fulfilled in that moment that Mary conceived through the Holy Spirit. Amen. All children are a gift, and there's nothing quite like being at the birth of your child. I'm sure many of you have experienced that as I have. Nothing quite prepares you for that moment. When you have your first child and they turn 2 years old, you experience the most joy you've ever had in the world. Just wait till they're teenagers. Just wait till they're adults and know everything. When a new child enters the world, it is a cause for wonder and for joy. It's a moment that a mother cannot express in words. I've seen mothers have their baby. I've even posted a picture of a baby when I shouldn't have before the mother posted. I've experienced that. But the joy you see on a mother's... She's probably looking at me right now. I'm not going to look that way. But the mother, as she expressed, some of them can't even speak in that moment. It's an unexplainable joy. It's hard to put into words. Of what creation that grew inside of you and was born and expressed, and now you can call this my son or my daughter. But the expectancy is here. Think about what you're doing in the moment that you're about to have your child. The nursery's going up, you're painting, you're buying all these things. You don't know if it's a girl or a boy sometimes. So you got blue stuff and pink stuff all over the place. Now they create atmospheres of where they shoot things into the air. It explodes pink or blue, or, you know, it's like a manifesto. You have all these things, but the expectancy is, soon I'm going to have a child. I need to be prepared. And in that moment, the baby's born. Everything goes out, I think. Everything, the nursery's not thought about anymore. The husband that didn't do anything to help all year is not there anymore. The last 9 months, he was non-existent. I don't know what's going on with this guy. But it's joy. It's an unexplained joy. The baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy. When Mary greeted her, something wondrous was at work. Miracles were in the air. God was moving. And through it all, he was creating joy. And that's what he's doing with us here today. Some of us, he's creating joy in your life. But it may not seem like that. Joy is ultimately a gift of God. It is, according to Scripture, a fruit of the Spirit. Something that God brings about in the lives of those who are open and available and obedient to Him. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. I love how it goes love and then joy. Because I don't know if you can experience joy until you've felt the love of God. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, was filled with joy in that moment. The child, John, was miraculously filled with joy. And Mary, if we were to keep reading, also rejoiced at what God was doing. My spirit rejoices, she says, in God my Savior. Rejoicing is simply our joy directed to God in worship as we just did. In our joy, we experience worship. To me, joy has its source in God. Its only source is from God. And here the source of joy is specifically the coming of Messiah to the world. As he lay it in a manger. And the joy in being a part of the events that surround this coming. Being in one on the good news that God wants to save and redeem is a cause for joy. Just knowing that we have unsaved loved ones out there, we have joy understanding that God will soon get a hold of them. Or they come to know Christ in a time that you don't expect it, and that filled with that joy of your son and daughter coming home. The thing about joy is that sometimes joy can be accompanied by challenges. Anybody ever have a challenge in their life? I know Bob just did. He about took his thumb off. But you understand, that in this moment, in this understanding of the Holy Spirit moving through your life, indwelling in your life, that there still will be challenges. Still things will happen in our life, in the flesh. The understanding that we live in a fallen world, but we're not citizens of this world. Amen. Mary certainly knew the joy of being used by God. But she also knew, more than likely, a degree and of a social stigma. Having an illegitimate child was not cause for celebration in the Jewish culture. Being pregnant with no father was not looked good upon in that time, in that culture of the Jewish nation. Rather, it was often cause for a stoning. And no doubt Mary was unsure of what having the race and rear the Messiah would be like, knowing that she was raising the King of Kings. Here it is, through church, Mary willingly followed God's call and was obedient to it, no matter the circumstances, no matter the challenges that would come to her life, no matter that she would be talked about and rumored in the women's ministry. I mean, the Jewish nation, they believed in God. They were following God. Yet they looked at a woman and said, she can't be the mother of the child of God. To know joy, we too have to be willing to sacrifice as Mary did, to obey as she did, and to submit ourselves to God as she did. Sometimes God calls us to do things that we never would imagine would bring joy into our lives. When God started to talk to my heart about things are going to change in my life, I said, no, I don't want that. I don't want things to change again. I'm 50 years old. I'm done with change. But God says there's going to be a cause of joy for you in these moments. And all I ask you to do right now is seek my face. Seek who I am. Seek that I am your Lord of Lords, King of Kings. So to know joy, sometimes we have to make sacrifices in our own lives. When God calls us to do something and we do it and obey, we may face challenges as a result of it. Just sometimes today in our culture, you can just say the word Jesus and you can be challenged. You can be made fun of. You'd be called names just for saying you go to church on Sunday. You could be ridiculed. But I think in those moments, as we are ridiculed for what we believe, also causes joy, an unexpected joy. And I think the fruit of the Spirit to give us joy in those moments is so that we can carry on. And when God helps us through it, it is a cause for joy. It's a joy deeper than what the world gives. Now, see, I get joy when Ruby's asleep, but the thing that God gives me joy in is way more than I can ever explain. It's more than this world can ever offer. I used to find joy in drinking alcohol, to wash my stuff away, to abandon myself from this world and what is done in my life. But the joy of God coming into my heart and saving me and taking me from that and causing me to be sober for the last 11 years has been full of joy. I love sharing that to people, understanding that I can live and be free from bondage. It's a joy I have. It's a joy to explain having my wife Melissa in my life and what she does and her hospitality and just how she takes care of me when I don't even ask. It's a joy. It's God-given. It's a joy that I can't receive from the things of this world. It's a different joy than I get when I see a brand new Dodge pickup going down the road. And I covet it. Joy is something we share, though, too. I can't keep this joy to myself. I have to be expected to share it with others. I have to bring others into the understanding of what joy is and why it's so important in my life. There's a joy when you know that you're not alone. Oh, hallelujah. I used to live in such an isolation, such a depressed mode of life, such a dark world. And just knowing that I'm not alone makes me happy. Just knowing that I matter. Just knowing that I'm valued by a creator that created me for who I am and loves Twinkies. That's joy. It's a cause for joy. It's a deep-seated joy that comes from friendship and fellowship. That's why I say it's so important to gather as the church and gather in homes and gather wherever we can gather, because we encourage and share that joy with one another. Fellowship and friendship, relationship, family relationships. Pastor Scott spoke earlier about the Christmas dinner. You know what it's about? It's about being together and encouraging each other in Christ. Being joyful in what God has done in our lives. And there is also joy when we know that we are a part of God's plan and fulfilling the purpose He has for us. Amen? Both Elizabeth and Mary had unique and specific roles in God's plan. We think about it. Elizabeth had John. And John the Baptizer, right? He got the nickname. I don't know if some of you have been watching the Chosen series. We just finished season 2. And I won't be a spoiler. I know season 3 is coming out. But just the character of John. Just understanding that these people were real people just like you and us sitting here. And Elizabeth understanding that John will proclaim one day Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. That's joy. But neither Mary nor Elizabeth could contain the joy they felt. Both had to share it with one another. Mary literally traveled to tell Elizabeth she was pregnant with the Savior. She had to share. And ultimately, they would have to share it with the whole world. Amen? The same is true for us. The joy we know is a joy we share. And the funny thing is, sharing the joy doesn't mean we have less, but more. Joy increases the more you give it away. Darren shared it. It's more of his heart to give than to receive. And that's the same with the gospel. It is so good to share the gospel and the joy in that. When you see somebody come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you watch them lay down the sinful nature of their life, or they lay down the drugs, or they lay down the porn, or they lay down whatever's going on in their life, and they begin to see Christ for who He is. That is joy. And some of them skip and hop and they dance and they'll run around the church with a flag on their head or whatever they got going on because they're excited for what Christ is doing in their life. I was listening to my worship music in the shower again like I normally do. That's all I'll go. G-rated. I heard the song that it might get loud. It might get loud. Why can't I express my Savior's love just like I express myself for the Denver Broncos? Right now I'm not expressing very well. I'm throwing things at the TV. I'm pretty angry. But other than that, when you're at a football game, sometimes we let it all out. We express our, yes! People are decorated. They take their shirts off. I'm not saying do that in church right now, but hey. The joy of the Lord causes us to dance, causes us to sing loud, to praise His name. Being filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit causes something inside of us that is unexplainable joy. And sometimes that's what I want to do. I want to run around the room and make sure everybody's feeling what I'm feeling. Did you just feel that singing that song? Did you understand the words we just sang? It just brought me joy. Adoring Him, our Savior. Church, can I ask you something? Does the good news of Jesus Christ still excite you? Does it still bring you joy? I mean, think about this question for a moment. Do you really still get excited for Jesus Christ in your life to the point where you want to share it at any moment, in any place, in your workplace, in your school, in your nursery wilder, anywhere that you want to express Christ? Do you still feel that when you hear the good news, when you hear the gospel, when we sing the song Joy to the World here in a moment, when you hear the gospel message? Do you still get things? I get excited because I know what God did in my life and what He brought me out of and what He's brought you out of, where He's taken you in your salvation, where you're expressing who God is in your life. And all of a sudden you see somebody light up and say, I want that. I want what you have. I want to know why you're always smiling. I want to know why you feel so much love for me when I've only expressed hatred for you. Or I've called you names. Or tried to ruin your career. Try to bring up your past to discourage you. Try to say that you don't matter. You don't belong here. You don't fit in here. Does the Holy Spirit fill you with joy in that moment? Tragedy falls upon you. You lose your job suddenly. A moment of disability. Cancer strikes. Do you allow the Holy Spirit still to fill you with joy of the good news of the gospel? Do you still call out on His name as your Savior? As your holy, holy, holy? That's the joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy. That in those moments, even though you're hurt and in pain and you're feeling isolated, you can call out on your Savior and just say the name Jesus and be filled with joy. Have you, like Mary and Elizabeth, made yourself available for joy through a life of devotion and obedience? There's one thing that I know, that I understand from Elizabeth and Mary, is they sought and were obedient to what God asked of them. Amen? The other thing, and the other part of this joy that you receive, is knowing who He is in your life. And that takes a daily approach, as Pastor Scott shared just at the beginning of service. It's a daily event. It's a daily recognizing what Christ is doing in your life. Amen? It's a daily event because the fruits of the Spirit take work. It takes us taking faith in who God is in our life so we can express the fruits of the Spirit to one another and encourage one another in love and in joy. Amen? In that moment that you feel something striking you or bringing you down, I challenge you to call on the name of Jesus. It's a beautiful name. In that moment, you feel angry at your wife or angry at your husband. Just say Jesus. It's a powerful name. And I believe, and I truly believe, that in those moments, you'll begin to feel the joy. You'll be feel the things come down, the walls come down. And the love of Christ, as it expresses into your life, as the Holy Spirit begins to move inside and indwell in you, the joy of the Lord, it's unexplainable. And if you haven't felt, or I know after church, Pastor Scott, myself, there's leadership here. We would love to pray with you, chat with you, walk with you in relationship to see and understand what that joy looks like. Amen. Can I pray over us? And we sing joy to the world. And I challenge you, why we sing that song, look at the words, look at the lyrics. It's the gospel message right in a song. So, Father God, as we're filled with joy to be here today, as we're filled with joy to understand and to worship who You are, as we're filled with joy knowing what Mary and Elizabeth did and the expectancy that they received of the Christ, the Savior, can some of us in this room today leap for joy knowing that Christ has came, that we've won the battle, we're living in victory? Help us, Lord, to feel that joy. Help us to understand that joy in our lives. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place with Your presence. Those that watch this video later, would You fill that room with presence? Lord, I know there's probably people right now that just need a touch from You. And I ask that You do that today. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.